Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we will move to Quran chapter 3 and verse 169, where we learn about the doctrine of reincarnation in Islam. Obviously, most Muslims do not believe what I'm about to share with you, not because they don't believe it, but because they never heard of it. But if they have read it, they for sure believe it, because who would say that there is no reincarnation in Islam? Just today, it happened before I record that broadcast, I was watching the old show Gunsmoke. When my mother-in-law was living with us before she passed away, she hooked me on watching Gunsmoke show with her. Sometimes we watch the same show 3-4 times. But since she asked me to watch it with her, I respected her wishes whenever I have free time. And I would sit and watch with her, sometimes a whole show or sometimes a part of a show. But today it was a very strange, unusual show. Why? Normally, if you have an idea what Gunsmoke is all about, it's about robbers, thieves, people shoot each other, people rob banks or rob stagecoach or whatever different show is all about. But this show is different. Why? Because it's about a midget who went to this bar and he was so upset and he was crying and he got all the attention of everybody in the bar. And his problem, which he shared with the people, and he told them before even he shared with them that they will not believe him. Why is that? Because he said at midnight, in that full moon night, he will be turning into an elephant. And they must feed him with apples. So maybe in the morning, he will come back to the short man. So before midnight, he went to this bar near the saloon. And the three men who were outside, they went after him. And surprise, surprise, they found him to be an elephant. Of course, it is a TV show. Everyone who will watch it will never believe in it. We found out in the end of the show that short man inherited 31 elephants from his uncle. And he tried to figure a way to get rid of them. No one will take them, but he made up that story, and that's how he was able to convince people to take care of him after turning to an elephant. And that's exactly what these three men did with his elephant. But once again, this is just a TV show. We know it is not true. Now let's look at the Quran to see the similarity between the prophethood of Muhammad and the writers and the producers of the Gunsmoke show. So without further ado, let us look at what is written in Quran chapter 3 and verse 169. For there we read the following. And do not think that those who were killed for the sake of Allah dead, yet they are alive with their Lord, receiving their provision. What this verse is all about, Ibn Abbas told us that Muhammad spoke about those men who were killed in the Battle of Uhud. Remember, in the Battle of Uhud, lots of Muslim men who fought with Muhammad were killed. And Muhammad taught his companions that Allah rewarded these men by making their spirits to live inside green birds, eating from the fruits of the garden and drinking from the rivers of the garden. They were actually taking refuge in golden lamps suspended from the shade of the throne. We're talking about the throne of Allah in the seventh heaven. When these believers who were killed found out how beautiful it is, the food and the drink and the rest they enjoy in the garden, they said, "Oh, we wish that our brothers know what Allah is doing so that they would not neglect jihad and would not abandon war." Allah said, "I will inform them about you That's why Allah said in Quran chapter 3 at verse 169, "And do not think of those who were killed for the sake of Allah dead, yet they are alive with their Lord, receiving their provision." What a great way for Muhammad to deceive his gullible, naive followers. Because you see, after the battle of Uhud, and many of these Muslims died, now the Muslims lost the hope to have victory. They lost the hope to be the dominator for all the Arab in the Saudi Arabia Peninsula. They lost the battle. And maybe they will start leaving Muhammad one person at a time. But Muhammad was so smart. He created that propaganda, or we call Hollywood, of the reincarnation. These people who died, they're not dead. They're alive. Where? With their Lord. What they're doing? Living in the garden. How they are living in the garden? Inside green birds. If Ibn Abbas, the first cousin of Muhammad, assured us in this interpretation that that's exactly what took place in the life of these Muslim men who were killed in the Battle of Uhud, why not for the next 1400 years, even until Christ comes back, Muslims will continue to perform jihad? Who knows? Maybe they will be reincarnated into green bird, or purple bird, or blue bird, or some other color of bird. In any way, they will have a better life. They are not dead, but they're alive in any whatever shape or form Allah wished for them to be. This is the reality of the doctrine of reincarnation in Islam. Believe me, maybe some Muslims who are listening to us right now for the first time, he hears this hogwash, propaganda, Islam. And I hope and I pray that if you are one of those who believed in Muhammad to be a prophet, to figure out from that myth alone that Muhammad cannot be a prophet, and the Quran is not the word of Allah, meaning the God of the Bible, because God will not fulfill the falsehood of the doctrine of reincarnation, which he himself rejected in the teaching of the Holy Bible. Once again, this is a falsehood which has been rejected many times with all the true believers of Judaism and Christianity. Well, let's move on in our study to learn about Muhammad's miracles. And that is what we read in Quran chapter 3 and verse 190. For there we read the following verse. Surely, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the change of the night and the day, are signs to those who have understanding. What is this verse all about? It's about a miracle. What is a miracle? The creation of the heavens and the earth. The change between the night and the day. This is the sign. This is a miracle for those who understand. Why Allah descended that verse on Muhammad? Once again, Ibn Abbas told us the truth behind that verse. That the people of Quraysh went to the Jewish people and they asked them, what is the miracle which Prophet Moses performed to you to prove to you that he is a prophet from God? And the Jewish people said, his rod which turned to a snake, his hand which became white for those who beheld it. So the people of Quraysh went to the Christians, which Muhammad called Nasara, and they said to them, what about Isa? What are the miracles which your prophet Isa, they meant Jesus, performed to you that you may believe in him? They said, he used to heal the sick and the lepers. He used to raise the dead. And then the people of Quraysh, these are the idol worshippers. These are the people who have no God, who have no true belief like Jews and Christians. They came to Muhammad and they said, oh Muhammad, call on your Lord that he will make gold out of the mountain of Safa. And by the way, this was not the first time where the polytheist of Christ asked Muhammad to perform miracle, as we see this repeated throughout the Quran, and we covered some of them already, and some more is coming in the near future. So what was Muhammad's answer for the request? They want him to perform a miracle that they may believe in him, like Moses, like Isa, son of Mary. Here is the answer of Muhammad. That is what we read in Quran chapter 3 and verse 190. Notice, the people of Quraysh did not ask Muhammad about the creation of the heaven and the earth, or the change between the night and the day as a sign or as a miracle. They wanted Muhammad to perform miracles like it was in the case of Moses and like it was in the case of Jesus, Isa, the son of Mary. But Muhammad did not have a miracle. Muhammad could not perform a miracle. But he told them about the greatest miracle, the miracle of creation. Excuse me. Any person who have any logic or common sense can see that in the creation of the heavens and the earth, there is a sign. As a matter of fact, the Bible said the heavens declare the work of thy hand, the hand of God, the creator. And anyone and everyone who have logic or common sense, if you just can look by your eyes about the difference between the day and the night, you see there is some supreme being who is in charge of the world, who made the world, who made the day and the night and the day and the night every day until we are here today. Where is the sign of that? Where is the miracle in that?
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Muhammad did not perform one miracle. Muhammad could not prove to the people of Quraysh that he is a prophet or he is a messenger. And when they asked him to do like Moses, to do like Isa, and by the way, we're not talking about the Moses of the Bible here, or the Jesus of the Bible. We're talking about the Moses of the Quran and the Jesus of the Quran. Why Muhammad could not perform miracles like those whom he claimed to be prophets before him, according to the writings of his Quran? The answer is very simple, because Muhammad is not a prophet. Muhammad is a fraud, and the evidence that he's a fraud. He could not perform even one miracle for those who were seeking guidance, seeking evidence to believe that Muhammad is a true prophet. We learn about Ibn Abbas and his interpretation for Quran chapter 3 and verse 190 from the great Muslim scholar Al-Sayuti, as he gave us the reason why Allah descended Quran chapter 3 and verse 190. In similar words, Muhammad could not answer a simple request of the people of Quraysh to give them an evidence that he is a true prophet by performing a miracle like all the truthful prophets who came before him. All what he did, he just turned their attention to the creation of the heavens and the earth and the change of the night and the day. Now I have one more verse. With it, we will conclude our commentaries on Quran chapter 3. And that is Quran chapter 3 and verse 199, where there we read, "And surely some of the people of the book are those who believe in Allah and in what he has sent down to you and in what has sent down to them, humbling themselves to Allah. They will not purchase with the verses of Allah a little price. Those will have their wages with their Lord. Surely Allah is swift in the reckoning." Once again, when we talk about the people of the book, in general, we're talking about the Jews and the Christians. But in that verse here, when he talks about the people of the book, specifically, according to Jabir ibn Abdullah and Anas and Ibn Abbas and Qadada, they assured us that that verse, Quran 3:199, was descended on Muhammad concerning a man, his name Al-Najashi. And he was a Christian man. He died, and Jibreel mourned him to Muhammad in the day he died. So Muhammad met with his companions and he said, come out, let us pray, for a brother to you has died in a land not your land. So the companions of Muhammad asked Muhammad, who is that brother of us who died? He said, he is Al-Najashi. So Muhammad prayed over him and he kabbara means shouted Allahu Akbar 4 times and he sought forgiveness for him. And Muhammad told his companion, seek forgiveness for him. And they did. But the hypocrites said, look at this man. They meant Muhammad. He prayed over an Ethiopian Christian man who have never seen. And he is not of his religion since he was a Christian, not a Muslim. That's when Muhammad said that which is written in Quran chapter 3 and verse 199, where Allah said, and surely some of the people of the book are those who believed in Allah and in what he has sent down to you. You here is Muhammad, which means Allah is telling Muhammad to tell these hypocrites who rejected the ideas that Muhammad prayed over Al-Najashi, who is a Christian man who died and Muhammad never saw him, that Al-Najashi is one of those of the people of the book who believed in what Allah sent to Muhammad, which is Islam. And then we continue, and in what has sent down on them, meaning Al-Najashi also believed on what is given to him as a Christian. He believed in the gospel. You have to understand now, my friends, that the gospel in that time was 600 years plus old, meaning the gospel of Al-Najashi, the Christianity of Al-Najashi is a perfect match to that which we have today in our Christianity. So here we have internal evidence that Muhammad was told by Allah in Quran 3:199 that Al-Najashi not only believed in Muhammad, not only believed in Islam, even though he never met Muhammad, he never heard the Quran, he never knew anything about Islam, but he also was a good Christian man who believed in the gospel. Describing him in the continuation of the verse that he was humble to Allah and that he will not purchase with the verse of Allah a little price, meaning he will not sell his Christianity for any price. He was a strong believer in Christianity and he died as a Christian. Allah stated in that verse 3:199 that such man will have his wages with Allah, and Allah is swift in the reckoning, meaning he will be rewarded by Allah quickly. Now, maybe for some Muslims, I say naive Muslims, who hears this interpretation, it will make sense to them and they believe it. But that does not match the verse and the nouns of the verse. The Quran did not say one of the people of the book, but some. And the Quran said they, not he. So how can you interpret a verse speaking about plural to be one person, Al-Najashi, that Christian man from Ethiopia? And that's why we read a different interpretation, as Muslim scholars always disagree about why Allah gave these verses or what is the real meaning of these verses of the Quran. So, as we continue to hear the rest of the Muslim scholars' interpretation, like Mujahid, Ibn Jarir, Ibn Zayd, they will tell us, no. This verse was not written concerning Al-Najashi, that Christian Ethiopian man, but it was actually written concerning all the people of the book, all the Jews and all the Christians. And that will make you scratch your head. Wait a minute. Is Muhammad confessing to us in Quran 3:199 that all Jews are okay, all Christians are okay? How can that be? I do not have an answer, especially when we know that that chapter is Medini chapter, meaning it was actually given to Muhammad after immigration from Mecca to Yathrib, a Jewish city which Muhammad took by the edge of the sword just a few years after immigrating to it. Can you see any more confusion than that? In one hand, Muhammad is telling us in the Quran that Jews and Christians are infidels. And on the other hand, Muhammad is telling the Quran that Jews and Christians are wonderful people. They actually believe in the revelation which was given to them. They actually believe in Allah, assuming that Allah is God, because that's what Muhammad is talking about throughout his Quran. They actually believe in Muhammad himself, where in reality, logic and common sense, not one Jew, a true Jew, not one Christian, a true Christian ever believed in Muhammad, especially when we know that Muhammad was persecuting them, killing their men, taking their women and their children as concubines and slaves, as you see that throughout the writing of the Quran. We just read in Quran chapter 3 and verse 169 about the Battle of Uhud, where Muhammad and his companions were involved in this war, and many of his people were killed. And if you look carefully to the history of Muhammad's wars with his followers in the last 10 years of his life, you would discover that he killed many Jews and many Christians. We're not talking about just killing idol worshippers, those who lived in Mecca, but many of the neighboring Christians and Jews. Was Muhammad confused? He did not know what he's doing? Or this Quran was just made up by people who came literally almost 200 years later after Muhammad, and they put these verses together in confusion where we do not see any consistencies, not only in the teaching of Muhammad, but even in his actions. In our next broadcast, we'll begin our commentaries on Quran chapter 4. And I hope and I pray as we continue to investigate the commentaries given to us by Muslim scholars about their Quran, you will realize how confused Muhammad was and how confused Muslim scholars are and how confused Muslims who believe and depend on their scholars to guide them to the truth are also confused. So until we meet again in the next broadcast, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.